think that's all. Yeah, there we are. Thank you. This is the Declaration of Financial Independence. It is a full page, and when possible, I want you to read it aloud, hearing yourself. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Not Chris Chenoweth, hearing you speak the truth to you. It works a lot better to subconscious mind. And when you read it, the words, and speak it at the same time, you have a retention power of 83% more. You're going to read this for the next 30 days in the morning, at noon, and at night. Now, there will be some times, like when you're on the airlines at Southwest, that you cannot walk down the aisle and read this, although you'd be doing them a great favor, even if you got on the microphone and did it. You read it silently at that time, but when you can, read it. And it's very important to keep this up, to do it morning, noon, and night for the full 30-day period of time. You have to get definite about prosperity so that prosperity can get definite about you. I have a question for you. People need some handouts over in this area, too. Keep your hand up. I want you to have every single handout that we're handing out today. Here's a question that I have for you. How safe is it to walk through the streets of your own mind? You will find if you really walk through and take a sightseeing trip, it is the scariest place on the planet. I have a friend. Many of you know my friend. Her first name is Molly. Her middle name is This Is My Problem. And her last name is Do You Want to Hear It? You all know Molly. Have you ever noticed that the ones that make the least in life talk the most about it? They have a problem. Oh, they say, oh, you just wouldn't believe, and they talk and talk and talk. The only problem is they're hearing it first themselves. And pretty soon their subconscious mind believes it, and they're totally defined by their negative talk. Have you ever noticed that the ones that make the most in life talk the least about it? You will find that people in lack talk and talk and talk and talk about it, not realizing what they're doing. Their talk is a self-fulfilling prophecy. But the definite word of prosperity, spoken aloud, can speed up what you want in your life by 80%. So, I'm going to give you one of the toughest assignments you've ever had. Here goes. And this is where your prayer partner comes in, or your spouse that's teaming up with you. For the next 30 days, beginning this moment in this room, not one of you is allowed to say anything negative. Nothing negative, not even joking negative. If you begin to say something negative, you turn it around and say the absolute best thing that can happen. I want you, this is not a game. I want you to talk positive about your life and see what happens to your soul energy as you do that. Also, this is why, as I said a minute ago, you have your prayer partner, still some over here need some, is because you will go back down into the negative. It has a gravitational pull without even realizing it. Have you ever been driving your car and been kind of half asleep and realized, like on a Sunday, you drove to work and you sit there in the parking lot and you say, oh my golly, what am I doing here? Well, it's the same with our negative talk. We get into our negative subjects, and we just get flying, and we catch ourselves and we say, oh my. Just allow it to be an oh my experience, and then go on and realize that 90% of it is awareness. And with your prayer partner, you're going to help each other to talk negatively. But this is more than talk. You're not allowed to say anything negative with your voice or your lips. But also, you're going to listen to what you say to yourself with your mind. Huge. Especially when you're applying for a job. Huge. You go into the job and you begin to feel nervous and shaky, and you don't feel that you're equipped to do what it is, and you stop yourself. And you take a half an hour, take yourself around the block, walk yourself, and begin to talk yourself up. With God, you can do it. God's going to work through you. God's going to equip you. And then you go in with an energy, you know, like you'd shower, you'd comb your hair, you'd put on makeup before an interview. Most important thing's putting on consciousness. And when you put on consciousness, that's what you radiate. So you watch with your mind what you're thinking. You don't listen to those inner voices, because if you do, them shouting at you, telling you what you can't do, you become like the beached whale. You got to stand up to them with the power of God. Say, you don't have power over me anymore, and I evict you from my mind. Now, they'll still keep talking. It'll take a while. But you keep at it until you're more powerful than them, which will happen in the 30-day process. You'll be surprised how fast it works inside of you. But more than that, do you know what the number one credo is in the unity movement? All religions have credos. This is a credo of unity. To see the good. To see the good. Well, this begins right now for your life in the next 30 days. Now, after 31 days from now, that's February 13th? You can say everything negative you want and begin to... But not for the next 30 days, because you've committed to this. You won't want to, even on the 13th of February. You're going to see the good about everything. You're going to walk into old situations where you would have criticized, where you would have been cynical, and you're going to see the good. People that you don't like, you're going to see the good. You're going to see the potential in them. For a 30-day period that will be literally like a vacation to your soul. And you'll be surprised what happens. So, everybody track me on this. The next 30 days, this is all part of negative thinking, you're not allowed to criticize anything or anyone. You're not allowed. There is no critical comment coming either in your thoughts or your words. You also won't be cynical, especially about the opportunities ahead of you, because that just freezes you. It locks you into a self-imposed imaginary prison. For 30 days, you're only going to voice what you want to happen. What you want to happen. Now, every day, you're going to say aloud, in the morning and at night, you're going to say aloud, I am God's rich child. I am God's rich child. You're going to say that 100 times. You're going to say it in the morning. You're going to say it at night. That's 200 times a day. 100 times takes 4 minutes. Now, here's where this becomes really powerful. I get on my Nordic track, which is a change in consciousness for me, let me tell you. When I ordered my Nordic track, I watched one of those infomercials late at night. I was on the edge of my seat. I said, hey, I'm going to change my life. My hand shook as I ordered that Nordic track with the 800 number. I was so excited. It arrived. I used it for 3 days, and then I did something with the Nordic track that they didn't talk about on their infomercial. A Nordic track is the best men's clothes valet that has ever been made. It will hold 7 suits at one time without mussing any of them. So I hung up the suits and I get on the Nordic track. I get in movement and I say, I am God's rich child. I am God's rich child. I am God's rich child. And here's why that's important. Because remember, I'm talking in the next 30 days to your whole mind. Everybody begins to think with conscious mind, but I want to take it into the subconscious. And everybody, when they begin to pray, they pray from what is called, whether you're in female body or male body, masculine mind, which is the thinking side of the mind. In both females and males. The feminine side is the feeling side. But usually, we don't feel what we're saying. We just think it, and then it's a lackluster thought. When I begin to say, I'm God's rich child, I'm God's rich child. It's like plenty, 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 plenty. Until I get to about the 70th time, and then I start to have a shiver throughout my body, and I'm beginning to feel it. I'm no longer just thinking it. I am God's rich child. I am equipped right now. I'm feeling it from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and I have put on the consciousness of being God's rich child. And I am like a magnet to attract my good. This is a crucial part. I took this from my buddy Stretton Smith of the 4T. He said the reason the 4T was so successful, we were prayer partners. He said the reason it was so successful is this. This was number one. The saying something positive 100 times and taking it into your feeling nature, putting it on. You put it in your spiritual DNA when you think and feel it. That's creation itself. It is the feminine and the masculine mated together, and it creates the offspring. And it's the only way that you can have new life. So, every day for 100 times in the morning, 100 times at night for the next 30 days, I am God's rich child. You begin to diffuse and eliminate the voices of other people, too, that have said negative things to you in the past. When someone said to you way back when, oh, you can't do that, they weren't talking about you at all. What they were really saying, gee, if I was in your situation, I couldn't do that. They were talking about themselves. There was once a grandpa and a grandson. They were in Louisiana and they were crabbing. They were catching crabs out on the dock, and they had a very good day. They had a bucket full of crabs, and the grandson was looking at the crabs in the bucket, and he notices one of the crabs is crawling up the side of the bucket and ready to escape. He goes over and he says, Grandpa, one of the crabs is going to get out. We better check this and cover it up. And the grandpa comes over to his grandson, puts his arm around him, and he says, Son, I want you to watch this, and I want it to be a lesson for your life on what's going to happen next. And so they stand there and they watch this industrious crab crawling up the side of the bucket. Here's what happens every time. The other crabs at the bottom of the bucket reach up and pull that crab down to their level. Now, friends, your friends have also done that to you. They haven't meant to. Your family has too. You started to get a little high, and then they reach up and try to pull you down to their level. It's where they're comfortable with you. Now, some of you are going to have incredible success by doing the process. You're going to be putting on a new consciousness, and you're going to start to rise in your career. Realize there's going to be, a vast majority of people around you saying, who do you think you are? Why do you think you can do that? And you say, inside of yourself, because I can. And you keep climbing. You don't stop. So many people that I've counseled with that have been towards the end of their life, they'll say to me, why did I stop? I could have continued, but I stopped. Nothing's going to stop you. No voice outside of you, and certainly no voice inside of your head. You are not going to allow that to happen. One woman said to one of these people that was saying something negative about her, and I loved this, and I wrote it down. The one woman said to the other woman talking negative, she said, listen. She said, don't walk through my mind with dirty feet. Every visible sign of wealth can be traced to an invisible source. Whatever you voice, you begin to attract to you. Charles Fillmore used to say every morning, one of the heads of the Unity Movement, he said, the Lord has prosperity to give, and I am determined to go after my share. When you say this, something happens to your inner mind. The inner mind that has held on to the memories, basically of the bad events that have happened to you. The inner mind is like an onion. Every time you talk to it, you don't totally diffuse the idea, but you take off a layer. And then the next time you do it, you take off another layer and another layer, and pretty soon, there's nothing there. And it's a void. And then, what do? You begin to fill that void with the positive. And then when you begin to doubt yourself, you go back and instead of thinking about your failures, you think about your success. Now Jesus said to everyone that came to him for prayer, he said, do you believe? Remember reading that in the Bible? No matter what they would come to him for, he'd say, do you believe? Everybody track me on this. That's a mistranslation. In 2003 language, it is quite different. You come to me, and I'm Jesus, and you hear from Jesus, not do you believe, but the correct translation, can you accept? You see the difference? There's a million miles between the two. Can you accept? I tell you, you're going to have an incredible life in 2003 with greater opportunity than you've ever had before in your lifetime. Can you accept it? There's a whole lot of self-convincing going on in the next 30 days. I'll give you something from my other seminar, How to Power Pray. In the Bible, it says that God already knows what you're going to pray for before you pray. Have you ever really thought about that? If that's the case, why pray? Is there a very real reason why you pray? You're going to convince you, not God. The whole thing is acceptance. God has prosperity and good better than you could, any one of you, including moi here, could accept. We have to constantly work on expanding ourselves. And when we expand our ability to accept and believe that we ourselves can have it now, then we'll have that in a very, very real way. Let me give you an example of this. There was a woman that came to Unity Village one time, and she said, I want you to pray with me. I hear you're a good prayer. She said, I want to pray for a car. And I said, that's great. And her name was Mary. And I said, come on in here to my office and pray with me, and we'll pray for this new car. And she says, no, 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 you're not ready. I got to make sure you're ready in consciousness. And we talked a bit more, and I said, Mary, are you ready to pray for your new car yet? She said, not yet, because I'm going to pray for a big car, and I want to make sure you're ready for it. So finally, she told me, this is after like 30 minutes, 35 minutes. And she said, okay, Reverend, are you ready? I said, I'm ready, Mary. She said, I want to pray for a brand new Rolls Royce. Here's what I said to Mary. I said, okay, Mary, right now I want you to get up from the sofa. I'm going to get up from my rocking chair. We're going to go out of this office. We're going to go down the stairs and into the parking lot. Can you believe that Rolls Royce is sitting there right now? And she looked at me, and I said, did you hear me? I said, we're going to leave this office right now and go out to that parking lot. Can you believe that Rolls Royce is there right now? And there was a long pause, and she said, well, not right now. Okay, I got my hand up again. Jesus said, when you pray, when you pray, when you pray, when you pray, believe you've already received. Why? Because it's convincing Patricia, not God. God wants to give it to you. You've got to convince you. That's it. And it's not that easy. It takes real work because you're dealing with a mind with a lot of crud in it. Of untrue stuff. So I said, Mary, I said, what kind of car could you believe would be out there right now if we prayed? And she thought for a minute. She said, well, I suppose a new Chrysler Neon. And I said, poof, so be it. I will open the windows of heaven for you until you say it's enough. That's talking about acceptance. It's talking about expansion in your human mind. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Heaven, heaven, heaven. You know what that means in literal language? Expansion. That's what it means. It's you expanding to greater opportunities of acceptance from God. For you, not for somebody else. I want you to examine your mental equivalents. You've all written down one thing. You're going to be turning it into me. By the way, sometime before we leave, anytime, put it into that basket by my tapes and CDs. You know, I want to take it with me so I can begin praying with you tonight to begin the process. I really want to stay up with you as we do this. But when you pray, I want you to be real honest. You know, so many people write down, well, I want to win $10 million. They won't get it, or they'd already have it. They don't have a mental equivalent of that. If they had a mental equivalent, a John D. Rockefeller mind of the $10 million, they'd have it. It'd be automatic. They couldn't keep it from them. So you got to expand your mental equivalent. Now, here's what I mean by mental equivalent. Let's say that they come in and they tell us that, gee, there's some problem with the electricity. We have to move this seminar. If we move this seminar, we need an equivalent size room or bigger, don't we? So many people are praying for a Rolls Royce, and yet they've got a Chrysler Neon opening. You've got to expand that. But how? You know, it's easy for me to be up here talking, but how? You got to talk to yourself and talk to yourself and talk to yourself, not to convince God, to convince you. To really get serious about convincing you. Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, a human mind stretched by a new idea never again returns to its original dimension. If you're not getting what you want in prayer, you are standing in the way. You need to expand your mind to what you can do. This is really, really what college does. You know, so many people have a college education. I have a college education, but I can't remember one course that I took during college. Yeah, you agree. I couldn't tell you, Lord, if I had to retest right now. What it did really was expand my mind to what I thought I could do. But more than a college degree or anything, this will, in the next 30 days, expand your mind. You've got to be able to get bigger ideas through your mind. Now, we're going to get a little deep. Charles Fillmore said in 1901, he said that thoughts occupy space. Nobody understood that at the time. They understand it now if they have computers, because if you've ever had a hard drive that's too full, the thing freezes. If you have a subconscious mind that is too full, you freeze too. So I'm going to help you in a very fast, accelerated way clean out your subconscious mind. And those of you that have my phone number from one of my business cards, this will be one of the calls that I get from you. Oh, people complain about this one. They have trouble with this one. If I could have help with my next handout. You didn't get the last handout either? Are you taking more than one? Anyone taking? I'm going to do two things because I want everyone to have a handout. I'm going to ask, instead of them being stacked, that they're laid out like this, and that way they can grab them as they need them if for some reason you don't get it at the time. But let's start with that group right over there. Tessa is making 150 additional handouts of some of the handouts right now, I'm being told. Yes, please. No, not on the website. I've had that idea given to me, and we're looking at that. We really are. If for some reason you are missing any handout, we're told that Tessa is duplicating and putting them on a table out in the foyer. We're going to get them to you. Okay, this handout that I'm handing you out right now is one of them that I have serious complaint on. This is about eliminating clutter in your life. And people shake. I know that when I was first given this handout by Catherine Ponder years ago, Catherine Ponder swears that this is one of the most powerful techniques for prosperity in all the years that she has taught. Here is why it is so very, very important. When I was first given this, I literally shook on the idea that I would have to get rid of some things in my life. I had a weed eater, for instance. I had a weed eater that had not worked in 15 years. But being a good man, and you'll relate to this, I just knew that if I had the time, I could put $500 into that $79 weed eater and make the best weed eater that had ever been made. I had a TV antenna, that was as big as this room, that from here could pick up Dallas without a ghost, even though I had had a satellite dish for 10 years. I just knew that if that technology ever came back, I was ready. I went across Kansas recently in one of my journeys, and if you've ever driven across Kansas, it's one of the few times I've been suicidal in my life. And I saw this billboard, see the world's largest ball of string. Now, this is not ordinarily an activity that I would invest in. But I went and I paid $5.95 to see this ball of string. And as I'm looking at this, I'm realizing this guy really has a problem. Here is why it is so important to clean up clutter in our lives. Because whatever you have, if you have a weed eater or a TV antenna or whatever, you also have a file cabinet in your subconscious mind on that. Every time I walked past that weed eater in the garage, I felt guilty. I said, you know, someday, friend, I'm going to get to you and give you the love that you need, but I just can't right now. Everything you own, like this lectern, this church would have a file cabinet on the day it was built, who donated it, where it's been. When you get rid of these things, you free up subconscious memory. It is not needed anymore. I'm going to ask you to go through this sheet and in the next 30 days. Now, everyone can think about getting rid of a few items, but do you see the number of lines on there? I'm going to ask you to do massive cleaning out. Now, you don't have to give it away. You can sell something. The main thing is you free up your life of things that you don't need anymore to bring good into your life. When I've traveled across the country, there was a woman that wanted prayer with me personally, and her name was Mary. All my women in my stories, they're called Mary. And Mary wanted me to pray with her because she had a lifelong dream of having a baby grand piano. I prayed with her, and she was praying in the right way. And what I mean praying in the right way is she felt it. She absolutely knew that the piano would be hers. And when I pray with a person, I usually pray with them for a full hour. I didn't with you, but when I'm one-on-one, it's full hour, just like on my prayer tapes out there. It's a full hour, solid prayer on that specific subject to convince the person. Well, I'd prayed with her, then I prayed with her again, then I prayed with her again, and still she didn't have her piano. I came back into that city, and I didn't know why, because if anybody was praying right, it was Mary. And she asked me, she said, I'd like you to come over and bless my home. Yeah, you're already way ahead of me. Now, I'm not talking like it was filthy or anything, because it was highly organized stuff. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I had to suck in to get by the stuff and get by it. And then there was so much stuff between me and her that I couldn't see her. It was all the way to the ceiling. And so I'm looking around her and everything, blessing her home. And finally I said, Mary, I said, if you were to get this baby grand piano, where would you put it? She only had space one place, and that was out in the front yard. She got it at that point. Got rid of her stuff, and immediately, she had the opportunity to get a baby grand piano. It was in the paper, front page, where they were remodeling a theater, and they were going to sell the baby grand, and they were going to sell it literally for pennies on the dollar. It was the kind that she always wanted to have. But up till that day, when she had space, she wouldn't have been able to accept it. You've got to make space both places, in your mind and outside, to have the good come to you in your life. Now, I'm going to give you the number one big thing that's taking up space in subconscious mind. It is, and this scares people, it is unforgiveness. This is huge. Your old anger issues around somebody or some company or some situation, and it is massive. And what it's doing is it's not hurting the other person, it's hurting you. And you're going to let go of every unforgiven person, group, or organization, realizing that it's a huge block to you. Jesus said one time, when he told this story, and let's make it real, let's make it practical. Let's say that Howard is up here speaking on Sunday morning, and there's a man walking down the center aisle during the middle of his talk and stands right there in front. And pretty soon, you know, Howard's trying to continue, but pretty soon he notices that nobody's looking at him. Everybody's looking at the man. And so he says, can I help you? The man says, I'm so sorry, but I have to fly out of town in just a little while. And before I left, I wanted to give you this gift to the ministry, to the building program, of $1 million. Well, Howard's excited, the congregation's excited, but the board of directors are coming literally out of their bodies. Especially when they see Howard do what Howard does next. Howard does this. Howard says, no, sir, I can't accept that. I can't accept that. You need to go and forgive your brother first, then come back with your gift. The congregation's mad. The board of directors are ready to have a live crucifixion. That's an actual Jesus story. What does that mean? It's because Jesus knew that the number one block in a human being that keeps the human being encapsulated under a certain level is unforgiveness. It absolutely freezes and concretes the mind. Now, if you've done something that I consider horrible to me, it's like you're holding one end of a rope and I'm holding the other end of the rope. You know what forgiveness means? It means that I let go of my end of the rope and turn around and walk the other way. It means, in 2003 language, release in Chris Chenoweth, not in you. The human mind way is, now listen, I'm going to look at you closely, and if you change the way I want you to, over time, mind you, then I'm going to think about forgiving you. But I'm always going to remember, yes, I am, and I'm going to be watching you close. Forgiveness, unforgiveness inside of us is like a poison. It causes disease, folks. It's a tremendous strength-zapping power. When you release massive amounts of space in subconscious mind. Now, what happens when you do that? When you're saying something like the Declaration of Financial Independence, the literal ideas of subconscious mind are like a sponge. They're not full with stuff. They're empty and they can take it on. Every night for the next 30 days, I want you to do this at a specific time, the sheet that I'm going to hand you out next. I want you to write down in the next 30 days the people that you want to forgive, some are colored, some are white, but they're the same thing. And here's some more of the other that we didn't get. You write down every person, place, and thing that you need to forgive. And then on the other side of this sheet, you write down people that you perceive need to forgive you. If any of you are in the AA discipline or NA, and you had to go through the time of making amends with someone, you know that that was a huge thing. And you go to that person and you say, you know, when I did this to you back in 1973, it's just gnawed at my soul, and I'm so sorry. And you know what happens 90% of the time? They don't even know what you're talking about. You've had the poison inside of you. So you're going to go through this, and at a very specific time. This is a half an hour before you go to bed at night. This is extremely important because this is going to be almost the last thing you do before you go to sleep. And then you take it into your sleep and allow God to work on you too. This was a personal religious discipline of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. They never went through the day without forgiving at night. The last thing that they did, they didn't take it into sleep because that tends to put it in concrete in the subconscious mind during sleep process. It's also the most important time for releasing.
Okay,
yes.
This one is a hard one.
It is a hard
one.
That's a very good question. She says, I can forgive people. Do I still have to associate with them? Think of what Jesus said. He said, shake the dust off your feet and walk on. You do not have to stay in that situation. You are not a doormat as a Christian. I have no idea what I just advised that woman to do. Now, as you're going through your 30-day period, first of all, if you've tried to forgive over and over and over and over again and haven't been able to do so, you'll be surprised this time on a daily process, doing the prayers at the bottom, going over this in mind before you go to sleep and praying these prayers, you'll be surprised, pleasantly so, on how fast this works. You will get to the point at the end of the 30-day process that you're doing something that I call maintenance. That is, you don't hold on any new grudges. You literally do what Charles and Myrtle Fillmore did on a daily basis. You forgive those people during the day. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, and instead of taking that inside and getting angrier and angrier, now, let me tell you about what happened to me in Chicago recently.
I had done a long series of seminars, and we're talking every night of the week. I got to the end night. It is 9 o'clock at night. I'm in my motel room, and I call, and I'm shaking just like I did when I ordered the Nordic Track with pure excitement. I call Gino's West Pizza. Now, for any of you traveling to Chicago, Gino's West Pizza, and you know what I'm talking about, this is a pure spiritual experience. And I get everything ready. I get the candle on the table ready in the motel room because I'm going to have a private worship ceremony. The Holy Trinity, myself, Gino's West Pizza, and God. And we're just there. The delivery boy comes and I just smile at him. I tip him $20 and he says, "Gee, mister, nobody's given me a $20 tip before." I said, "You're worth it." I closed the door. I locked it. It was just me, God, and Gino's West Pizza.